السلام عليكم. May the peace and the blessing of Allah be with you. With you today is Amani Shalabi. Welcome to my podcast, Hidden Jewels of the Quran. Reflections on the Holy Book based on our common inner experiences, integrating spirituality with psychology, science, philosophy, and ethics. In the last episode, I talked about the motivations behind our desire to earn money and how to purify our intention by relating it to the godly qualities within us that we need to realize and express through offering the services by which we earn money. I also talked about some of the diseases that accompany the way we handle money and how to heal these diseases. In this episode, I will talk about what is permissible and what is prohibited in Islam regarding the way we earn money and why it is important to know. The Prophet ﷺ said, "A time will come upon the people when one will not care how one gains one's money, legally or illegally." It is also reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, "The flesh and body that is raised on lawful sustenance shall not enter paradise. Hell is more deserving to the flesh that grows on one's body out of unlawful sustenance." A person who earns his or her money unlawfully often lives in hell. The nature of hell is having fleeting pleasures that is associated with unsatisfied desires, greed, continuous hunger for more. It is also accompanied by worries, stress, and the fear from being caught, humiliated, and losing one's wealth and reputations. All of these negative feelings stem from not knowing one's true self and from rejecting reality as is, and so being veiled from the truly real Al-Haqq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masterful nurturer, Ar-Rabb. On the other hand, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "The truthful and the trustworthy businessman will be in the company of prophets, saints, and martyrs, those who died in devotion for Allah, and those who can witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection." Paradise is associated by self-contentment, a sense of fulfillment, knowing oneself, and knowing one's masterful nurturer, Allah, and being able to witness His beautiful and majestic face. It is very important to know what is permissible and what is prohibited in regard to business, trades, and earning money, so we can be sure that our earning is holy. The Holy Quran mentions trade 9 times. Among them is Allah saying, "O you who believe, eat not up your property among yourselves unjustly, except it be a trade amongst you by mutual consent, and do not kill yourselves, nor kill one another. Surely Allah is most merciful to you. That is Surah 4, Ayah 29. When prices for health care, physician fees, attorney fees, medicine prices, and all other types of services are so high to the degree that many people cannot afford it and they are denied these services, the society is killing these people. This is why it is very important to check if we set the fee for the services we offer too high or denying it to those who can't afford it, so that we will not fall in the category that Allah mentioned in the Quran. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, the blessed trade is the trade that is not mixed with lie or any evil doing. He also said, when Allah forbids something, He forbids its price too. This means that Muslims cannot trade in that which is prohibited, such as wine, drugs, the flesh of swine, and so forth. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also said, in the end times, people will be carrying out their trade, but hardly will there be a trustworthy person. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited cheating in business and trade. It is narrated that he sallallahu alayhi wasalam happened to pass by a heap of edible corn. He thrust his hand in that heap and his fingers were moistened. He said to the owner of that heap of edible corn, "What is this?" The man replied, "O Messenger of Allah, these have been drenched by rainfall." So the Prophet ﷺ remarked, "Why did you not place this drenched part of the heap over other edible so that the people could see it? He who deceives is not of me." Usury or riba in Arabic language is not permitted in Islam. There are two types of riba. Riba nasi, which is charging interest on lent money, and riba al-fadl, which is trading a superior type of goods with a larger quantity of the same type of goods with inferior quality. For example, exchanging dates of superior quality with a larger quantity of dates of inferior quality. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prophesied that a time will come when riba will be too spread that it will be very difficult for a Muslim to avoid it. At such time, Muslims need to be extra cautious. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once saw in a dream that there is a river of blood and a man was in it, and another man was standing at its bank with stones in front of him, facing the man standing in the river of blood. Whenever the man in the river wanted to come out, the other one threw a stone in his mouth and caused him to retreat back into his original position. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was told that these people in this river of blood were people who dealt in riba. Allah says in Surah 2, Ayah 275, those who consume interest or usury riba will not stand on the day of resurrection except like the standing of a person beaten by Shaitan, leading him to insanity. That is because they say trading is the same like usury, whereas Allah has permitted trading and forbidding usury. So whoever receives an admonition from his Lord and stops consuming usury shall not be punished for the past. His case is for Allah to judge. But whoever returns to usury, such are the dwellers of the fire. They will abide therein. Allah will destroy what is gained by usury and will give increase for what is spent in charity. And Allah likes not those who reject the truth, and He does not like the criminals. Allah also says, O you who believe, be afraid of Allah and give up what remains due to you from what you gained by usury from now onward, if you are really believers. He also says, and if you don't do it, then take a notice of war from Allah and His Messenger. But if you repent, you shall have your capital sums. Deal not unjustly by asking more than your capital sums, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly by receiving less than your capital sums. And if the debtor is in a hard time and has no money, then grant him time till it is easy for him to repay. But if you remit it by way of charity, that is better for you if you did but know. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said, I came across some people in the night in which I was taken to heaven. Their stomachs were like houses wherein there were serpents, which could be seen from the front of the stomachs. I asked Angel Jibril, who are these people? He replied, these are those who devoured usury. Usury is a sign of greed, and greed is like snake's venom. It is poison. It is a sign of unsatisfied hunger that bites the stomach of the person. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam saw the visual vision of that reality. For our action manifests in our subconsciousness, like in dreams, in images that embody meanings, emotions, feelings. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was able to see this by ascending in the level of consciousness by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, a dirham of riba, of interest or usury, knowingly taken by a man is a sin worse than committing zina, fornication, 36 times. This is because zina or fornication can harm those who practice it, but riba or interest harms the whole society. You are listening to hidden jewels of the Quran. Hoarding and manipulating the market is not permissible in Islam, as Allah says in Quran 9:34, those who hoard gold and silver and spend it not in the way of Allah, give them warning of a painful punishment. Bribery is not permissible in Islam, as Allah says in Quran 2:188, and do not consume one another's wealth unjustly, or send it in bribery to the rulers in order that they might aid you to consume a portion of the wealth of other people wrongly, while you know it is not lawful. Begging is not permissible in Islam. It is narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, the upper hand is better than the lower hand, which means he who gives in charity is better than he who takes it. One should start giving first to his dependents, and the best object of a charity is that which is given by a wealthy person from the money which is left after his expenses. And whoever abstains from asking others for some financial help, Allah will give him and save him from asking others, and Allah will make him self-sufficient. It is also reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, he who makes a habit of asking from others reaches out for a brand of fire. So let him refrain or continue as he desires. Consuming the orphan's money is not permissible in Islam, as the Quran says in 4:10, as for those who swallow the property of the orphans unjustly, surely they only swallow fire into their bellies, and they shall enter burning fire. Taking the wealth of orphans unjustly is considered the eighth among the greater sins in Islam. Allah says in 4:2, and give to the orphans their property, and do not substitute worthless things for their good ones, and don't devour their property as an addition to your own property. This is surely a great sin. A caretaker should be very careful not to spend any of the orphan's money on himself. Imam Ali, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said, do good to the children of others, so that good may be done to yours after you pass away. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, may Allah be pleased with him, said, if one oppresses someone, Allah will appoint an oppressor upon him or upon his children. Think about bank foreclosures against single mothers and orphans. Think about people who make money off the shoulders of single mothers and orphans. Think about those who take advantage of single mothers and accumulate wealth on their shoulder on account of orphans. So those who swallow the wealth of orphans are not only the guardian or the caretakers of orphans, but anyone who don't pay fairly for single mothers and orphans, or single fathers with orphans. The whole system is not mercy-based. If the whole society is not mercy-based, then the whole society is guilty of swallowing the wealth of the orphans. Extravagance is not permissible in Islam, as Allah says in 17 ayat 26 and 27, and give the relative his right, and also the poor and the traveler, and don't spend wastefully. Indeed, the wasteful are brothers of the devils, and ever has Shaitan been to his Lord ungrateful. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, when you eat, drink, give it charity, and wear clothes, let no extravagance or pride be mixed up with what you do. Parsimony is not allowed in Islam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, every day two angels come down from heaven, and one of them says, O Allah, compensate every person who spends for your sake. And the other angel says, O Allah, destroy every miser. Every miser suffers from burning fire, the stress about money, worries about spending money, anxiety about losing money, and a dissatisfaction, and also suffers from fear. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also said, there are two habits which are never present together in a believer: miserliness and bad manners. It was also reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, avoid doing injustice to others, for on the day of resurrection it will turn into manifold darkness, and safeguard yourself against miserliness, for it ruined those who were before you. It incited them to murder and treating the unlawful as lawful. Making money of religion is also not permissible in Islam. As Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said, in the end times, men will come forth who will cheat and use religion for worldly ends, and wear sheepskins in public to display meekness. Their tongues will be sweeter than sugar, but their hearts will be the hearts of wolves. He also said, at that time, people will sell their religion for a small amount of worldly goods. The Quran says in 9:34, O you who believed, indeed many of the scholars and the monks devour the wealth of people unjustly and avert them from the way of Allah. If you are a spiritual teacher, an imam, a priest, a rabbi, a spiritual healer, a life coach or guide, you must be very careful about the way you earn money. Are you hoarding the knowledge you have? Are you giving it only to the wealthy? Are you manipulating people and giving them false knowledge to get their money? Are you taking from the charity money that is giving to the mosque or the church or to the synagogue or the spiritual center? All of these actions are not permissible in Islam. This does not mean that rabbis, imams, spiritual guides and teachers and spiritual healers should not be financially supported. They also need to earn a livelihood and to live with dignity. But people should learn to give them on their own what may allow them to live with dignity and to meet their needs and the needs of their families. On the other hand, the scholars, the monks, the teachers, the spiritual guides should offer their knowledge and guidance and counseling to both those who can pay and those who cannot. You are listening to Hidden Jewels of the Quran. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "May Allah show mercy to a man who is kind when he sells, when he buys, and when he makes a claim." Allah says in Quran 98:5, "And they were not commanded except to worship Allah, being sincere to Him in religion, inclining to truth, and to establish regular prayer, and to give zakah or alms, and that is the correct religion." The Prophet ﷺ was asked by a man, "Tell me, what should I do to be admitted to paradise?" And the Prophet ﷺ answered, "Worship Allah, associating nothing with Him. Observe Salah, the prayers, and pay alms, and strengthen the ties of kinship." The Prophet ﷺ said, "The best charity is that which is practiced by a wealthy person, and start giving first to your dependents." The Prophet ﷺ also said, "Spend and don't count, lest Allah counts against you. Do not withhold your money, lest Allah withholds from you. Spend what you can." He also said, "The Lord's commandment for every one of His slaves is spend on others, and I will spend on you." Spending does not only mean to give money for charity and for zakah, for the obligatory alms, but it also means when we spend money on family or in buying, in eating in a restaurant, we have to purify our intention, knowing that we are doing it for a beautiful reason, for Allah's reason, to help others earn their money, to bless others with what we have, to make people happy, to make people well, to make people live with dignity. All of these beautiful intentions, if we having it before we spend our money, and if we conscious of Allah as the provider, praising Him for His gifts, and if we don't give it for worldly gain with the expectation of having some material things in return, if we act that way and spend from the blessings that Allah granted us, then surely we will experience self-contentment and our blessings will increase in this life and in the hereafter. We will feel the reward immediately, inwardly, and eventually outwardly and in the hereafter. Allah says in Quran 1:7, ayat 1-3, have you seen the one who denies the recompense? For that is the one who drives away the orphans and does not encourage the feeding of the poor. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, anyone who looks after the works for a widow and a poor person is like a warrior fighting for Allah's cause, or like a person who fasts during the day and prays all night. So feeding the poor, helping the orphans, the widows, the single mothers, and those in need is equivalent to fighting for Allah's cause, and it is equivalent to fasting during the day and praying all night. The Prophet ﷺ also said, if anyone would like Allah to save him from the hardships of the day of resurrection, he should give more time to the one who owes him debt, who is short of money, or remit his debt altogether. Allah also says in Quran 17:29, and do not make your hand as a chain to your neck or extend it completely and thereby become blamed and insolvent. So Allah teaches us to take the path of moderation in the way we spend money. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, wealth is not in having vast riches. It is in contentment. To be content stems from having pure motive, pure intention, earning money in a holy way and spending it in a holy way. Contentment comes from making other people happy, from serving a higher goal than ourselves, from being the servants and the representative of Allah, by adorning ourselves with the divine beautiful qualities, while trying to hoard, accumulate, and gain material things will not result in this contentment and fulfillment. For all material things are perishable, but the beautiful qualities of Allah, the lessons we gain, are not perishable. So we must seek the meanings behind what we do rather than seeking the outer things in themselves. And to do so, we must awaken our consciousness by practicing contemplation, fikr, and remembrance, dhikr, so that we can know ourselves and empty our minds from its lower desires, its ignorance, its pattern of behavior, its negative thoughts, and replace that with new inspirations, creativity, resourcefulness, and many other beautiful qualities that will allow us to serve ourselves and serve others. Thank you for listening. Please join me again in a new episode of the Hidden Jewels of the Holy Quran.